Well, I feel like I could just have a fit about now. Lord been good to you? Say amen.
Amen.
Guaranteed He has. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Take your Bible this morning, turn with me to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. And Lord willing, we're just going to brag on Him just a little bit this morning. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so we're going to do our best just to lift Him up just a little bit this morning. Going to revisit some very familiar scripture. The Lord put this on my heart yesterday. I had asked Ashley to sing a song that she never sang before because it would go with the message that I thought I'd preach this morning. And she called back yesterday and wanted to know if I still what the song was I wanted to sing. I said, never mind, the Lord's taking me in another direction. And as the Lord began to deal with me about the scripture, He began to deal with me about some people, individuals. Somebody said to me one time, preacher, I know you preach that just because of me. Amen. Yeah, what kind of preacher would I be if I didn't? I don't pray that the Lord give me good sermons. I pray that the Lord gives me what you need.
Amen.
Amen. And you may not need it today. You may file it away. You may need it down the road a little while. Amen. Mark chapter number 4, very, very familiar scripture. Levi wrote a song, and he didn't have the stuff together to do it this morning. I'd had him sing it. He wrote a song about this passage of scripture. What manner of man is this? But look with me at Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. The Bible said, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. If you write in your Bible, there's two words in verse number 35 I want you to underscore. Underscore those two little words, let us. Let us. Those are two of the most encouraging words in the Bible. You know what the Lord said? He didn't say, y'all go. He said, let us. He didn't say, go ahead and I'll meet you later. He said, I'm going with you. And you can just about be guaranteed if the Lord's in the boat, it's going to make it to its destination. Amen. The Bible said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there was also with Him other little ships. In verse number 37, the Bible said, and there arose a great storm of wind. Again, if you write in your Bible, underscore those two little words, great storm. I believe this King James Bible is accurate.
Amen.
Amen. We'll come back to that in a minute. A great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now, say that word with me. Have you ever been there? Come on, talk to me a little bit this morning. Have you ever been there? I've had it up to here. And not up to here anymore. It's up to here. It's full. I've got more on me than I can stand. Have you ever reminded God of the scripture you said in your word, you had not put up more on us than we could stand? You ever reminded God of that? That's where they are. Their ship is not taking on water. It's full. Now, I fished probably more than I should. I love to fish. And I've never sank a boat before, but I know what happens when the boat's full. I know what's next. Sink, right? A boat can only take on so much water, and it's going down. So he said their boat was now full. In verse number 38, the Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. He was real disturbed, wasn't he? And they awake him and say unto him, underscore and say this next word with me, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Bible said, and he arose and rebuked the wind. I love that. And said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a, say the next two words with me.
Great calm.
We'll come back to that in a minute. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Stay with me just for a second before we get to the next verse. There are those that preach and teach that if you have enough faith, God will do this and this. Are you listening to me? They get on the television, hey, if your disease is not healed, it was because of your lack of faith, right? If their miracle cure doesn't work, it's not their fault, it's your fault because you didn't have enough faith to get it done. Now answer me a question. Did Jesus calm the storm? Come on, did he calm the storm? He didn't just calm it, he stopped it. The Bible said it was a great storm, but when he got through, it was a great calm. When he says, peace be still, you can bet, honey, it's still. Y'all with me? How much faith did they have? Come on, we just read it. How is it that you have no faith? Nothing to do with the sermon this morning. I just thought I'd throw this in. If you will examine your life, you will find out, if you'll look honestly, you'll find out God has done the greatest things in your life when you believe the least. Come on. Some of y'all looking at me scratching your head like, I don't know if this is right. You know it's right. Just when you thought there was no hope, Jesus stepped up on the bow of your ship and said, peace be still. When you thought it was over, when you thought the marriage was in the toilet, when you thought the kids were totally gone, when you thought the situation was utterly helpless, God said, wait a minute. How is it that you have no faith? It seems to me God blows our mind the most when our faith is at its weakest. I'm not saying go through your life without any faith. I'm just saying God doesn't need your faith. Sometimes God will work in your lack of faith to build your faith. We okay? Verse 41. The Bible said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him. Now listen, I told you this morning, this message is specifically for some people that's sitting in this room this morning. I know who you are, and you may not even realize how much you need this morning. So please listen this morning and ask God to speak to your heart. Many times in this passage of Scripture, we will put our focus on the men that were in the ship. And we'll put our focus on the mess that they were in. Or we'll put our focus on their lack of faith that they had. But I want to just key in on one word in Mark chapter number 4 this morning. One word. Look at it with me. Verse number 38. The Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, say it with me, Master, carest thou not that we perish? This morning, instead of looking at the men or the mess, I want to focus on the Savior just for a few minutes. I want to look at the master of the sea, the master of Mark chapter number 34, the master of it all, the master of heaven, the master of earth, the master of creation, the master of the air that we breathe, the master of the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, the master of the stars that twinkle in the night, the master of the moon that shines and the sun that rises and goes down every day, the master of it all. I want to focus on him just for a little bit this morning. I'm afraid when life gets upside down, our focus is not on the master. They're facing problems because Christ is not magnified in our hearts and minds like he should be. I looked that word up years ago, master. Somebody had given me that 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And by the way, that is the greatest study tool you can have to study the Bible. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I love that dictionary. When old Daniel Webster would give those definitions, he had used Scripture to back them up. Yes, sir. But I looked up the word master. Somebody give me that. I've got it on a CD or a DVD you put in your computer, and I pulled that thing up, and he said the word master comes from a root word, mast. M-A-S-T. And it said out beside that, see, mast. So I turned over there and I saw a mast, and I read what it said that a mast was. And as I read it and I was comparing these definitions to the master, I was blown away. Yeah. It said a mast is a large pole that is set in the center of a sailing vessel. Stay with me. He said a mast is a large wooden pole that is set in the middle of a sailing vessel, and not to the right, not to the left, but dead center of that vessel. That's where Christ desires to be in our life. Not to the left or to the right, the front or the back, but right smack dab in the middle. That's where he wants to be in your life. Then he said that mast stands above everything else. Amen. For Christ to be our master, he must stand above everything else. Amen. He better be more important than the hunting club. He better be more important than the sales or the shopping, whatever ladies get. He better be more important than anything in your life. He said, and when the mast is set in the center and stands above everything else, the sail can be hung to it and find power to drive the vessel. How about that? I'm glad I've got my sail hung on the right master this morning. Then he gives the definition of the word master. He says, number one, he is a man who rules. A man who rules. I'd say that's Jesus, wouldn't you? He's not just Savior, he's Lord. He's in charge this morning, amen? He said he is a director, a head, or a chief. Nobody can direct your life like Jesus can. You say, preacher, my life's in a mess. I need to listen to Oprah. No, you need Dr. Jesus, not Dr. Phil this morning. Amen. I'm not saying humans can't give good advice. They can, but why not get the best? Y'all okay with me this morning? He said he's a director, a head, or a chief. He said, thirdly, he is an owner. And that's something when you can preach a dictionary, ain't it? Amen. Somebody said, where'd you get that outline out of the dictionary? He's an owner. He's an owner. Does that sound like 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 to you? You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. I'm glad the debt for my sin has been paid in full. Hey, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Amen. He bought me with a price. Hallelujah. And lastly, number 4, he said he's Lord. A master is a man who rules, a director, a head, or a chief, an owner. And lastly, he just said he is Lord. Then he gives the verb context of the word master. Listen to this. He said he is a conqueror. The Bible said we are more than conquerors through him. Yeah. Amen. He is a conqueror. He is one who overpowers, subdues, and brings under control. Got a life out of control? Submit it to the master. Amen. I thought those was pretty good definitions, didn't you? I want us to look at several things. I'll get you out of here as quick as I can, but I promise you, I'm going to preach till I'm done. Sometimes I get the idea that y'all think I ought to preach till you're done. But I brung it, I'm going to unload it, okay? I want us to look at several things about our master. Maybe sometimes we just need to realize who God is in our life. Did you know God is bigger in some people's eyes than he is others? Amen. I remember one time Oral Roberts said, he's dead now, but I think he died, didn't he? Oral Roberts, did he? He's gone, yeah. I remember one time he said he saw Jesus. Anybody remember that? I was just a kid. I remember Brother Charles Williams preaching about Oral Roberts seeing Jesus. Said he saw Jesus. Said he was 90 foot tall. 90 foot tall, really? 90 foot tall. I thought, there's your problem, dude. You got a little bitty Jesus. Amen. My Bible said the earth is his footstool. This is his ottoman. Amen. This great big old world. Hey, I serve a mighty big God this morning. And I want to magnify him to you. And I want him to be big in your life. Notice several things with me quickly this morning about the master. Number one, I want you to notice the will of the master. The will of the master. Do you know we a lot of times, how many of you pray for the will of God? Come on, pray for the will of God. Do you know that's perfectly okay to do that? But sometimes you don't know what you're asking for. Oh, please, preacher, pray for the will of God. I'm not sure you can handle it. Sometimes we get the idea that the will of God is Oreo blizzards. Banana splits. Peach cobbler. Oh, the will of God's always a wonderful thing. No, it's not. There was two things in our story that we see was the perfect will of God for his disciples. There are two things. There was wind and there was waves. And neither one of them pleasant. Do you understand that? I'm going through troubles, and one preacher says, well, you must be out of the will of God. No, the trouble may be the will of God. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? I bet you next time you pray for the will of God, you'll think about this. Amen. Stay with me just for a minute. It was the storm that the Lord put in their lives. I don't think he needed Channel 5 evening news to know the storm was coming. I don't believe the storm caught him by surprise. I believe he laid down Brother Atkins on the back of that boat and says, okay, let her rip. Give it all you got, and I'll just lay here till they come get me. And I sure hope they will, because I got something I'd like to show this crowd. I got something I'd like to show them about me. Amen? Huh? Hey, the Lord has something He'd like to show you about Himself too. It's in the storms of life that God is magnified and we grow and go to another level with Him. The will of the Master. Listen, go back to verse number, I told you to underline it. In verse number 37, the Bible says, and there arose a what? A great storm. A great storm. He signified what kind of storm it was. Hey, we had a little shower at the house. Was it yesterday? Yeah. We had a little shower at the house yesterday. Lasted just a few minutes. It came and it was gone. We didn't run and hide. We didn't put plywood over the windows. But it was a storm, right? The thunder popped a few times. So that signifies it was a storm. But we didn't fear. Why? It wasn't a great storm. It wasn't a great storm. You don't get too many of those in life. But they will come. You may be in your great storm right now. You may have just came out of your great storm, or it may still be yet ahead of you. We okay? I've had a couple. My wife's family has had several great storms. Brother Tommy and Miss Sheila had a great storm. Several years ago, our son had had his driver's license for 2 weeks, I think, just a few weeks. I got a phone call one afternoon. Y'all all know this, but I'm telling it again. I got a phone call sitting on the couch watching TV. My phone rang, and a lady on the other end said, is this Mr. Wyatt? I said, yes, it is. She said, do you have a son named Levi Wyatt? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, sir, you need to come quickly to Friendship Church Road. There's been an accident. I said, ma'am, is my son okay? And she just paused. And she said, sir, I don't know. I said, ma'am, is my son dead? And she said, I don't know. She said, the paramedics are working with him. Great storm. Great storm. As we watched him put his lifeless body into a helicopter and fly him to the head trauma unit in Rome, Georgia, great storm. Not knowing whether or not our son would live. The doctor said, if he lives, he may be in a coma. How long, doc? Could be a day, could be a month, could be a year. If he comes out of the coma, he could have to learn to walk all over again and go. I mean, it's just horrible news after horrible news. But for a minute, standing in the street on Friendship Church Road, in my heart, my perception was my reality. The ambulance was sitting there, no flashing lights. The paramedics were standing around talking. My son was dead. Just for a few minutes, we lost our boy. I didn't realize they were waiting on the helicopter. A great storm. A great storm. An old preacher said this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, a light rain will test your roof, but a flood will test your foundation. Let me say it again. A light rain will test your roof, but a flood will test your foundation, what you are standing on. I'm glad how firm a foundation will you and I have. I'm glad on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, somebody help me this morning, is sinking sand. Good God Almighty, we ought to just get excited and have church in this place this morning. Amen. The will of the Master may be the storm in your life. I came home to preach that Wednesday night. Angie stayed at the hospital. You couldn't get her to leave the room. I came home, tried to preach a little sermon, went back to Rome. And they had us in a little Ronald McDonald house for families behind the hospital. I went over and tried to rest. And long story short, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I got down on my bed and began to pray. I said, Lord, I'm not going to make any foolish promises. Because in my heart, God, I don't know what I'll do if you have to take my boy. But Lord, I promise you this, I'll try. I'll try not to get bitter. Lord, I can't promise you I won't. But I'll do my best not to. Lord, I'll try to keep preaching and serving you. Lord, I promise I'll try. Boy, there's a peace come over me like nobody's business. I went to sleep. A couple hours later, my phone rang. If you don't believe this, you can ask the two preachers, Brother Barry Ferguson. He'll be here during our camp meeting. Brother Barry Ferguson's on the phone. He said, Preacher, I'm sorry to call you so early in the morning. He said, I just had to share something with you. I said, what is it? He said, the Lord woke me and my wife up last night at the same time. About 3:30, 4 o'clock, I forgot the exact time. He said, the Lord had so impressed on our hearts to pray for Levi. He said, we got down by the bed and we began to pray for Levi. I said, when he did, he said, the Spirit of God came in that bedroom like I never experienced before. He said, Lord, when we call you and tell you your son's going to be okay. Amen. Well, I got up to go to the hospital and went and got her a biscuit and a cup of coffee, and I'm going across the parking lot and my phone rings again. I set the stuff down, pick up the phone, and it's Mark Gerwig from Flatwoods, Virginia, pastor. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry to call you so early. I thought, yeah, I've heard this one before. He said, the Lord woke me up this morning at the same exact time he had woke Brother Barry up. He lived right beside his church. He said, I was so impressed to pray for your son. I called two of my men. We met at the church early, early this morning. He said, we began to pray. He said, God came in that place. He said, the Lord told me to call you and tell you your boy's going to be all right. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I walked into that ICU. As soon as those doors opened, I could hear my son hollering, turn me loose. Yeah. Take this stuff off of me. Amen. I looked at my wife standing there with tears running down her face. I said, when did he wake up? Yeah. While I was saying, God, if you have to, I'll try to go on. Amen. Levi made a statement several years later. He was preaching to our young people, and he talked about his wreck. And he said something that was profound, Brother Charles. He talked about his wreck, and he said, but you know, the Lord showed me something. He said, that wasn't my storm. He said, I don't even remember it. He said, that was my mom and dad's storm. Was our faith increased? Yes. Yes. The will of the Master. It's not always good stuff, but it's always stuff that'll show you more about Him. Y'all okay this morning? The battles that you face when God steps in and gives you the victory. And the more of those victories you experience as you go on down in life and you begin to face things, they don't bother you like they used to because you remember what God did back there. You remember what God did. You say, God, you did it that time. God, you got me through that one. You can get me through this one. You can get me through this one. You can get me through that one. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more I do trust Him. The more faith I do have. You see, faith isn't faith at all till it's tested. So I've got great faith. Have you proved it? We okay? Amen. The will of the Master. I've got to hurry. I want you to notice, secondly, the work of the Master. The work of the Master. I'm glad we serve a God who's not lazy. Amen. Bible said He never sleeps, He never slumbers. Bible said He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We serve a busy, 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 busy Savior this morning. He hears all our prayers simultaneously. I just told this the other night, but a lady that used to be in our church, Miss Diane Green, was raised a Roman Catholic, got saved right here in our church. Her mother came from the Bronx in New York to visit her on a Wednesday night. We were having Wednesday night prayer meeting, people all over this altar praying. That girl's mama elbowed her and said, I don't understand a word they're saying. She said, Mama, they ain't talking to you. But the one they are talking to hears them all at the same time. Woo! Ain't you glad that we serve a God who hears and answers our prayer? Aren't you glad we serve a God that when the old accuser comes, He's still doing that today. He's our go-between. The devil says, what about old Eddie? And the Lord said, I don't see nothing but red. Because Jesus has done stepped in and got it covered. Amen? Amen. The work of the Master. We serve a mighty busy God. You know what he said? He said, lo, I'm with you always. He cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We serve a master who cares. Amen. You ever feel like your boss don't give a flip about you? Come on. They don't care about you. All they care about is what they can get out of you. And if they can get more out of you and pay you less, they'd be glad to do it. The Bible calls that a hard taskmaster. And I'm glad we don't serve a hard taskmaster. I'm glad we serve a gracious, loving God who cares for his children. Amen? I like the old songwriter said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Anytime you get those thoughts going through your head that nobody cares, that's the devil lying to you. Because Jesus cares this morning. He cares. He's a constant companion. Listen, and he can calm the storms. Has he ever calmed one for you? He's calmed it in my heart while the winds were still blowing. He not only gives peace after the storm, he can give peace in the storm. Amen. Remember what he told Paul? Paul said, Lord, I prayed 3 times for you to take this away from me. And the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I'll give you what you need to get through it. Just trust me. Amen. We notice the will of the Master, the work of the Master. Notice thirdly with me, the words of the Master. The words of the Master. Twice in our story he speaks. We have words of rebuke. The Bible said he rebuked the wind. Try that sometime. Just step out on your porch when them pine trees look like they're fixing to come through the living room. Step out there and say, hey, stop that. Him. That's what the Bible said he did. I can just imagine poor old wind. Well, you told us to blow. Yeah, but that's enough. I don't think they argued. He rebuked the wind. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Let them televangelists try that. Step out in one of them tsunamis and say, yeah, that's it. There were words of rebuke. But then there were words of rest. Peace. Peace. The old songwriter said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, my sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I just want you to notice the order of his words. Before the peace came the rebuke. Before he scolded the disciples and said, how is it that you have no faith? He rebuked what had them afraid first. How about that? Sometimes before God can really get your attention, he's got to get what's got you out of focus out of the way. Amen. You say, I don't believe it works that way. Well, we could go to the law of first mention in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. Again, there were words of rebuke and there were words of rest. Who got rebuked? The devil did. The rebuke came before the rest. After he dealt with the temptation, after he dealt with Satan and he put him on the run, then he said, Adam, we got it covered. It ain't going to be like it was, but Adam, here, we're going to cover it up. Are you listening? Aren't you glad? Hey, sometimes we need words of rebuke. Some preachers won't rebuke. The Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Is that right? Amen. Sometimes we need rebuke. How about you? Do you ever need, really scolded? Some of us are without reproach. Do you know how much it would bother me if either one of these two men right here, Brother Charles or Brother Atkins, came to me and rebuked me over something? It'd break my heart. It'd break my heart, number one, that I'd let them down. Because I admire these men. But you know what? I'd do my best to take it. Amen. Here's what happens. Here's what our flesh. This is what our flesh does when we're rebuked. And all God's trying to do is bring some peace. But you don't get the peace unless you can handle the rebuke. I ain't in here by myself, Emma. Come on, listen to it. Sometimes you're going to have to tell that flesh, hey, suck it up, dude. You're just going to have to sit back and take it. If you'll take this, the rest is coming. Amen. We need words of rebuke. But thank God for them words of rest. Woo! Have you ever had the Lord step out in the midnight hour and say, peace be still? I've had Him do it at funeral home. I've had Him do it in hospital waiting room. I've had Him do it, hey, on the side of the road at a wreck. I've had Him do it over and over and over. Thank God for His peace this morning. The Bible said that passeth all understanding. I've experienced it. Huh? So have you. Remember when you first got saved? All that load of junk lifted off of you. Remember how you felt? Felt like a bird. Felt like, man, if I could flap my arms hard enough, I could fly. Amen. Peace. It's the first time in your life you'd been at peace with God. I don't know how many times, how many situations. He stepped in, Brother Charles. Amen. And said, peace. Be still. I remember one night, people think I'm crazy for telling it. I remember one night, I was praying all along. I was in the church, in my office, at that old building, on Saturday night, contemplating quitting, giving up, not just on the ministry, giving up on everything. Nobody in that building, the doors are locked. You know, have you ever been to the altar, and you wasn't sure who it was, but you felt a hand on your back? Somebody was praying with you. In that midnight hour, I felt an arm around me, a hand on my shoulder. It was Him. It was Him. I physically felt Him. Another day, I was at the hospital making a visit, under a heavy load, stressed out, worried to death. I forgot who was having surgery. But I was coming out of the hospital, it was pouring down rain. And I just happened to notice as I came out the door, there was a young lady sitting there in a wheelchair under the awning, just sitting there. I didn't pay her no attention, I just ran because it was raining. I got in my truck and mother called me on my cell phone to see how the surgery had went. And I put my truck in reverse and just happened to look up. There sat in the pouring rain that little blonde-headed lady in that wheelchair. I don't even know how she got there. I ran in the rain. By the time I could get in my truck, crank it, put it in gear, she's behind my truck. I said, Mama, let me call you back. I got a truck, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, you're a man of God, aren't you? I said, I am a gospel preacher. Yes, ma'am. She said, well, the Lord sent me out here to tell you not to fear and not to worry. There's 10,000 angels encamped about you right now. Stupid me, I get back in the truck and I thought, what an idiot. I just met a psycho. And the Lord rebuked my heart. He said, I'm trying to give you some peace. I'm trying to encourage you, dummy. Whether that lady saw 10,000 angels encamped about me, I don't know. But it sure done something for my heart. Amen. I'm glad for the words of rebuke. I don't like them when they come. But I'm sure glad for the words of rest. Amen. Amen. We notice the will of the Master. And I know some of y'all are already done. I'm about through. The will of the Master, the work of the Master, the words of the Master. Then in verse number 41, I want you to look with me. The Bible said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We saw the will and the work and the words, but I want you to notice this morning the wonder of the Master. What manner of man is this? You got to go to Bible school, but in the Hebrew and the Greek, you know what that means? It means far out. Does God still blow your mind? Does He still amaze you? We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Does God still blow your mind? I'm afraid some of us have just gotten used to Him. Huh? The wonder of the Master. I'm talking about the one who created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. My wife and I went on vacation. There's nothing prettier than the Caribbean Sea. That's beautiful. And it's corrupted by sin. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. But standing there looking at that ocean and the awesomeness of that thing and just thinking, God did that. What an amazing thing. God did that. I'm snorkeling in the water and there's some kind of little ray, a stingray, and he just flutters in the sand and covers his whole body. And I'm thinking, wow, God, you are awesome. That is amazing. Hayden, our grandson, drew us a picture yesterday. And it's the typical four-year-old picture. Oh, thank you. He did the best he could. But when God does the best he can, it's not, thank you. Y'all out there this morning? It's more like, whoa. Does he still amaze you? I'm not into astronomy at all. But I love the stars. You ever look up at night and say, twinkle, twinkle, little star? How I wonder where you are. Up above the sky so high. You ever do that? You ever just look up? I just get dizzy on a starry night. Wow. It's amazing. And in my mind, I picture creation. I picture the Lord decorating the heavens. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Big Dipper, he put it there. The Milky Way, he put it there. The Little Dipper, he put it there. All those things God set in place, and they're still there.
Amen.
It's not evolved. It's still there, just like he put it there. That ought to blow you away. That's who I'm worshiping this morning. I'm not worshiping the star. I'm worshiping the one who hung it in place. When we was little in school, my first grade teacher, she had the poster board on the wall and had all the kids' names down by the side. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And had a graph drew off. And over here on top it said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And every day, if he was good, at the end of the day, she had a little plastic box in her desk drawer. And it was full of those little aluminum foil stars. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They were every color under the rainbow. And every day, she'd get out that little box and she'd do her finger like this. She'd wet her finger and stick in that box and put a star by your name. I pictured God in heaven. Isn't that something? Put a smile on your face. That's who we're singing about this morning. Put a song in your heart. That's who we're preaching about this morning. I'm talking about the one who controls the universe. Hallelujah. He's still at the helm this morning. Amen. Teacher never would put one of them stars by my name. She'd get down there by my name, she'd put a frowny face. One day she made me stay in. I couldn't go to recess. I had sat there and write sentences. I will stay in my seat. I had to write that over and over. I will stay in my seat. While she is out on the playground with all them other kids, I went and got that box of stars. I went ahead and filled them in advance. Amen. I'm glad I'm serving the one who hung the stars. How about you this morning? Are you serving the one who hung the star? Hey, if you'll get your eye off the storm and get your eye on the storm calmer, hey, it may be a little better at your house. It may be a little better in your heart. Let's get our eyes on the Master this morning. The will of the Master, the work of the Master, the words of the Master, the wonder of the Master. Can I give you one more? I want you to notice lastly this morning, the watching of the Master. The watching of the Master. I'm not talking about him watching us. I'm talking about those who are watching him. I want you to back up with me to verse number 36. This is where Levi got his inspiration for the song he has just written. Don't you look at that last sentence of verse number 36. The Bible said, and there were also with him other little ships. They wasn't in the big ship, but they was following behind. They may not have could have heard the words that he said, but they got to experience the outcome. I want you to note the saints that are watching. Hayden, will you help Papa a minute? Come here, baby. Come on. Come on, walk with Papa. Help me preach. Now listen carefully. We may not realize it, but as we sail through life's journey, there's some little ships watching us. There's some little ships as we go through life's day-to-day troubles and struggles and trials. Listen, there's going to come a day when some pretty little girl is going to catch this boy's eye. Right now, he's in the He-Man Woman Haters Club, but one of these days, he's going to be attracted to him. And he'll walk down that aisle, Lord willing, and I'll perform another ceremony. And as he starts to go through his life journey, that great storm's going to come. And his little wife's going to look at him and say, honey, what do we do? And Hayden's going to say, you know, I remember when Mom and Dad had a big storm. I remember what they did, honey, and it got them through. They just went to the altar and told the Lord all about it, and he helped them. I remember when the devil tried to tear up their marriage, and they worked through their troubles, and they just trusted in God. Honey, I believe if God got Mom and Daddy through it, and God got Grandma and Grandpa through it, he can get me and you through it. Are y'all on the same page with me? I'm saying they're little ships that are watching how we respond to the storm. Those disciples had two choices. They could have bailed or woke him up. Are you listening to me? Hey, you may quit on God and do okay. What about your children? Some of us have children and grandchildren that are not old enough yet to know they need Christ in their heart. What if we bail too quick? They could die without Christ and go to hell because they watched how we responded to the storm that came in their life. There are the saints around us, and there are the sinners around us. See, these disciples didn't have a clue where they were going, but Jesus did. Amen. Jesus had an appointment in Mark chapter number 5 on the Gadarene seashore. Jesus knew exactly. He said, let us pass over to the other side. He knew what he had to go do. Just like he did with the lady at the well, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He had an appointment. They didn't know he had an appointment. She didn't know he had an appointment. That man full of demons didn't know he had an appointment, but Jesus knew he had an appointment. If you study this thing out, that Gadarene Sea, it's only about 3 miles across it. Now the Bible said in Mark chapter number 5 that this demonic man had his dwelling among the tombs. Listen to me carefully. If you look at Mark chapter number 5, as soon as they landed, the Bible said, I believe it uses the word immediately. Immediately there met him a man whose dwelling was in the tomb. Listen, that doesn't make good sense. You don't put tombs on the beach. Use your noggin just a little bit. You ain't never seen a graveyard on the beach, have you? You don't put tombs on the beach. You put them up on the hill. But as soon as that ship landed, he was on the beach. Why? Maybe that night, looking out of his grave that he called home, tormented by demons. Tormented by demons. They said his name was Legion, for we are many. He didn't have one bad spirit, he had many bad spirits. That night, every time that lightning flashed, he could see all the way across that Gadarene Sea. It was like a flash going off on the camera. Every time that lightning would go off, he'd see that little boat. And that old demon spirit would probably laugh within him. They're going to die. They're going to die. And he was watching to see that ship go down for the last time. But then all of a sudden, Brother Charles, the sky lights up, and there's a man standing on the bow of that little ship. And he speaks these three words, peace be still. Amen. And that old demonic man said, "My soul, if he calmed that storm out there, maybe he could calm this storm in here." Woo! Don't you know the world's looking in on us? I was getting my hair cut. I'm done preaching, Brother Todd. He left. Y'all get us a song when you can. I was getting my hair cut just a few weeks ago. An old friend of mine came in to the shop where I was at. His name's Ray Fletcher. We used to deer hunt together. He owned a restaurant. We'd go over there and eat. I was getting my hair cut before he said, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you." He said, "Is Jason Crow still coming to your church?" First thing he said, hadn't seen him in a long time. "Is Jason Crow still coming to your church?" I said, "He is." He said, "Buddy," he said, "that proves there's a God." And he didn't mean that in a joking way. He is dead serious. What do you say? I'm saying the world is watching. You see, because that man remembers the man who did drugs with his children. He remembered the Jason Crow that cooked meth in his kitchen. I never met him. He remembered the one who dealt drugs. He saw what he was then, and he sees what he is now. And he's standing on the outside looking in and going, "What manner of man is this that even the old demons of drug addiction obey his voice?" Woo! Goes right there. This whole world's watching, and you know what they're saying? "Hey, if he done it for him, maybe he can do it for me. If he salvaged that marriage, maybe he can salvage mine. If he salvaged that life, hey, if there was hope for him, surely there's hope for me." The will of the Master. The work of the Master. The words of the Master. The wonder of the Master. And the watching of the Master. Let's stand our feet this morning. If we could, just for a minute, let's just bow our heads. Close our eyes. He's a great Master. He's a great Master. Can I ask you a question before they sing this morning? Is he your master? He's only your master if you make him your master. What I'm trying to ask you is, do you know that you're saved? Has there been a time and a place in your heart and in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior? Let me ask it in another way. If you were to die right now, right here in this service, have a heart attack and just fall dead, would heaven be your home? Is that settled in your heart? You know that for sure? If you can say yes to that, just slip up your hand. "Preacher, I know without a doubt that if I died right now, heaven would be my home." God bless your heart. Listen, maybe you couldn't raise your hand this morning. Maybe you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. But if you can really know, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I promise. I just want to pray for you." God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. Is there someone else that, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I need to get this settled. I don't want to die and go to hell." If you can really know, please pray for me that I'd get this taken care of. Thank you so much. Listen, one last question and I'm done. I wonder if there's one here today that say, "Preacher, it's not a light rain. It's not a thunder shower that I'm in. It's a great storm. Preacher, my boat is full. And if I don't get to the Lord quickly, I'm afraid I'm going to jump. I'm just about at the point of giving up. Pray for me." God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being the sea walker in our lives. Thank you for being the storm calmer and the peace giver.
Lord, you saw every hand that was raised. You know every heart. You know exactly what's needed here today. God, I pray you deal with us accordingly. Don't let one leave here lost without you today. Lord, some came in, their hearts and their lives in turmoil. Lord, I pray you'd give them some peace today. Lord, I pray even though the storm may not be over, but God, you could put some calm in their heart. Lord, you've done it so many times. Do it again. We'll thank you and give you glory and just have your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.